The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Mark. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. And I'll be reading today from the New Revised Standard. This is the good news about Jesus. Listen. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said one to the other, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let us pray. Dear God, it's such a privilege and a wonderful joy to have worship, to gather for worship. We thank you that you speak to us, that you speak to us in the past, speak to us in the future. And we invite your Spirit to speak to us here and now, today, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In the story, The Wizard of Oz, now I know you all saw that movie, or read the book. Anybody read the book before the movie? You'll date yourself, so you'd be careful if you raise your hand, because it was written in 1899, right? It was written at a time in our country's history where there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear across the country because of the new century, 1900. None of us were here then. But this church was. And we were here for several centuries before that. But in the late 1800s, there was a great unrest in the country. It was about the East and the West. It was about the people who were in the East, where a lot of the most recent immigrants landed. A lot of energy in the East, a lot of large cities in the East. But over these ensuing centuries, there had been a lot of energy in the West as well. And it seemed like in the very middle was the forgotten lands. Our breadbasket, our great fields, the ones that suffered the most. You know, there are large cities in the Midwest. Certainly there's Chicago that would be counted there. But if you just go sort of straight from like Washington, D.C., Philadelphia area and go due west over toward California, San Francisco, and all of that, you'll be hard-pressed. St. Louis might be in there. But you'll be hard-pressed to find big, huge metro areas in 1900. And so The Wizard of Oz, that book, was written to sort of give voice to sort of the tensions between the East and the West. And when the great storm came, and Dorothy was caught up in her house, she was whisked away by the pressure, by the storm, into the land of Oz. And it was in Oz that she was able to sort of find a centering point. It was in Oz that made her present back in Kansas make sense once again, famously saying, "We are not in Kansas anymore." In fact, when she returned to Kansas after that long experience, she still wasn't in that Kansas anymore, because that whole transformation experience in Oz transformed her thinking and made her a different person. She looked at her A&M differently. She looked at the farmhands differently. She looked at her future very differently. You know, Jesus and his disciples were in a storm. And there's one thing about storms that I can't show you with a magnet. You know, magnets have this, the north and the south. Can't even separate these. These are really good ones. They have a north and a south pole. But storms have a similar kind of polarity, which makes them a storm. It's called high pressure and low pressure. And when the high pressure and the low pressure get together, you get a what? You get a storm. Absolutely. And we have, in this area, suffered many storms, yes, over the years. We've had villages back in the old days wiped out. There have been so many hurricanes that affected this part of New Jersey over the years. Most recently, I suppose, would be Sandy, which is just devastating to this area. And so the high pressure and the low pressure, you see, create chaos. They create something that wasn't before. Low pressure living is one way to live. High pressure living is another way to live. But when the high pressure and the low pressure meet, transformation occurs. Different kinds of energies mingle and mix so that they become very different. So Jesus, in our passage today, talks about going out to cross the lake, going Sea of Galilee into the other side. And Jesus just tells the disciples, hey, let's go over to the other side. Now, Jesus figured that was just a time for a nap. That's what I did when I was in my dad's plane. You know, he was a private pilot, and we went up occasionally. But he would always get irritated with me because I always fell asleep. I was sitting in the co-pilot seat with a small little plane, and I would just inevitably just fall asleep. I just found that engine noise just to be quite comforting. So my dad is there. Can you imagine him? No, it's Kevin. Look over here on the starboard side. You can see the... Kevin? Hello? And he'd just kind of shake me out. What? Yeah, and look, if you look over here, there's, you know, what, he'd be pointing out some other landmark, point of interest. And 10, 15 minutes later, I'm out again. And, you know, we only took short rides in the plane. So the net gain, I would probably look out of the window, like, maybe for 10 minutes. And the other half hour, 40 minutes, I was just probably sound asleep. I don't know, maybe I didn't get enough rest back then. That's when I was a teenager. But the storms would occur. I do remember waking up in storms, and my dad would just do his best to explain to me the storm up ahead, and now we have to go around the storm. But one day, in the plane, small plane, going from Maryland up to West Virginia, it's a short ride, it's probably not even 100 miles. We were in the middle of the plane, and I said, Dad, I see there is a storm up there. He goes, yes, we're going through it. I said, okay, looks good to me. Small plane, yeah, we can do this. And so as we approached the thing, you know, my dad just sort of fastened his ear things, you know, on so they're a little more secure. And he began, much to my shock, to stop looking out the window. And instead, he was focused on what? His instruments. He began trusting, not began, he always trusted the instruments, but in that particular time, you can't just keep looking outside and observing what's going on all around you, because when you enter a time of high pressure, low pressure, when the clouds are darkening, when there's rain just batting the front of the plane, when the winds are jostling you back and forth, you really can't go out and say, oh, let me see, which way should I turn now? Where's that point of interest that I was trying to point out to you when you were sleeping a few minutes ago? Where did that point of interest go so that we could get our bearings? No, my dad was locked. His eyes were just locked onto his instruments, getting us through the storm. Now, the disciples didn't really have fancy instruments. And Jesus, you know, technology back then was maybe a hammer. A technology was being able to make things with which you could write, implements. It was building houses, was commerce, was doing all the ordinary things, but low tech, very, very low tech. But Jesus, all he wanted to do was get the disciples to the other side, because what had happened just now, that Jesus had been in a place where he was very, very popular. And everything that he was doing, it was just wonderful what Jesus did. He healed people. He gave people back their sight. People that had difficulty with mobility, he just said the word, and now they were walking again. People who had died, he had risen them back from the dead. And people were clamoring for his attention. Good people, like you and me, say, Jesus, would you please just fix this? Would you please just fix that? But Jesus wanted the disciples to see something on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He asked them to get into the boat, which was very ordinary, no more uncommon than my dad asking me, hey, you want to take the plane up to the farm today? Okay, fine, let's go. Well, Jesus, they get into the boat, and the disciples find themselves in the middle of the storm. They had no instruments with which to be guided. They experienced the high pressure and the low pressure. In fact, the Sea of Galilee is famously known for squalls that come up all of a sudden. But Jesus was not just focused on the storm. If you can imagine, Jesus was deeply focused on his mission. And what was his mission? His mission couldn't be sidetracked by a storm. Dorothy's future couldn't be sidetracked by a great tornado, a cyclone. Jesus' mission wasn't going to be set aside by some aberrant weather thing that occurs. Jesus' focus was to get them to the other side, because as we'll find in the coming weeks, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee waited not just ordinary people like you and me who needed a healing, a touch, some help in their life. Jesus was ready and willing to do that, but Jesus was about to face unbelievable challenges. The first person he meets, they call him the demoniac, the person who was possessed by many spirits, the one who had been affected perhaps his whole life by troubling spirits. And Jesus was going on purpose to see that person on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the place that ordinary people never went. Jesus was determined to go from the more easy place to the difficult place. And even the storm in the middle wasn't going to stop him. In fact, Jesus was so confident of his getting to the other side that he was sleeping. Now, don't you think, of all the things you could say about Jesus, of all the stories you could recount about Jesus, say you were one of Jesus' disciples, say you were part of the crowd, say it was your mom that was healed, say it was your friend who was raised from the dead, say it was your friend who had a serious disease that Jesus just took care of in a moment, and you're observing and want to tell now the story of Jesus into the future, would you really tell the story when the Savior took a nap? Would you really want to record for all time the fact that Jesus was napping in the middle of a storm? Did you ever ask yourself, like, why would a story like that be in the scriptures? Well, haven't you sometimes slept through storms? Haven't you sometimes met difficulties and challenges up ahead that you just said, I think I'll just sleep this off? I'm not sure I'm strong enough to fight this storm. I'm not sure the battle up ahead is worth the battle. I just may retreat back into something comfortable. Where did I put my favorite pillow? A neighbor calls for help. Tragedy, crisis. You just had your own five crises this week. I talked to some of you this morning that there are some health issues in our congregation. One is Helen Lincoln, who has had some AFib issues, and she's back at Cape Regional today. And so these kinds of things occur all the time. But somehow something happens where you just might say freely, the disciples might have said this is just too much for us. We're tired of being battered by the waves. This high pressure, low pressure stuff is for the birds. I'm telling you, we just can't. And if they had these magnets, they'd say, Pastor Kevin, how many times are you going to show us the polarity on the magnets? It's really cool. You know, push, pull, push, pull. But Jesus wanted them to understand that he was the Lord of the polarities. He was the Lord of the high pressure, low pressure. He's the Lord of the north and the south and the east and the west. Jesus is the Lord of all. And there's no storm that Jesus didn't anticipate. Even my dad on that flight, that storm didn't surprise my dad. He knew it was coming and he was prepared. And we're going to do instrument flying today. It was probably maybe 15, 20 minutes, a total dark, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the storm. But we got through because we paid attention to the instruments. And for us, for Jesus and for his disciples, we pay attention to that magnetic let us call spiritual energy. The spiritual energy that has been with us from the very beginning, that's been pushing us forward. I think there's only been a few times in Cold Spring Presbyterian Church's long history where people ever really seriously thought to go back. I mean, I can't think of a specific example. Oh, I wish we could redo 1749. That was a great year. Oh, man, wasn't that the good old times? And then some historian, like a Joan, perhaps, or someone else here, said, oh, you know what, I looked that up. It wasn't so good back then. Yeah, your memory thinks it was really good. But actually, it was not so good. So there are times, you know, I think back in the 70s, listening to my favorite music. You know, I listen to that music now. You know, with Apple Music, I can listen. I can name a song. I got it. It's not so good. I liked it then. It has lots of memories and enjoyment around it. And celebrate that, you know, from the Beatles, you know, when their music came out. And I watched that on a little black and white TV in my house. It was on television, right? Madison, or where? No, that was the stadium in New York. I remember that day, but I listened to them. And I said, Mom, that's really nice. It's very historical. But I don't listen to it every minute. I just celebrated. It was wonderful. And the same is true with facts of history. The same is true with our cemetery tours. They're wonderful. They point at things in our past that are worth celebrating and remembering. We don't want to forget. And so we have an opportunity as we move into the future together of celebrating everything that we have experienced in the past. But they are not pulling us backwards. These memories don't drive us back just to repeat the same things or just to do the same things in the same way. No, what they do is they push us forward. Jesus is the master of the polarities. He pulls us into the future on the one hand and makes the past push us into the same direction so that we begin to move. This spiritual energy begins to move us forward. And the neat thing is that all that's good in the past can remain with us as we move into the future. But if we weren't able to let go of some things and release some things into the past where they belong, we wouldn't be able to have room anymore for the things in the future. If we put all of your favorite foods on the plate today for lunch that we have prepared for you, all of your favorite foods, there wouldn't be any room for the lunch today. In other words, we can sometimes crowd out our life with so many of our favorites that there's no room for the new things on the menu that God wants to bring our way. And so the disciples knew. The disciples understood that even though Jesus was napping in the back, and they woke him up, and Jesus calmed the waves. But you know what I think might have happened if they didn't wake him? The storm would have died down. They would have gotten to the other side. But because they were able to engage Jesus in the middle of the storm, they were able to witness his power over the storm. In other words, they might have fallen asleep. And Jesus might have been the one to wake up and calm the waves so they'd get there sooner. Well, we don't know. We don't have that story. But we do have the one where Jesus is the master of the high pressure and the low pressure, who, when once awakened, says, yeah, there's the storm. I knew it. It was coming. And he speaks to the wind and it stops. You have anxieties about the future? Boy, all of us do. You have some fears about forgetting some things that are in the past that we want to keep bringing forward? Well, the happiness is you can bring some things forward. But you can't bring the whole past forward, because if we did, there'd be no room for the future. So that's why we have events like this. That's why we've been working since I've been here at Cold Spring Church to help us decide what kinds of things can we let go of just a little bit, release our grasp just a wee bit, in order for us to have a grasp, a hand free, in order to grab the future. And this spiritual energy pushes us from the past and pulls us into God's preferred future. You know, when Moses was fighting Egypt, and he finally called the people forward into the promised land, that was not a happy time. But where they saw no way, God made a way. And when David was struggled with pain in his life, King David, he saw no way, but God made a way. Joseph, as a teenager, was sold into slavery by his family. And Joseph saw no way, but God made a way. Daniel, he did everything right. In fact, he was probably one of the annoying kids in school. Always the right answer, always, "Oh, teacher, you didn't give us the homework assignment yet." Now, he was that person. And Daniel, no doubt, greatly surprised, ends up in prison because he was following God. Now, that's just not right. There are people all over the world today who are trying to do what God has invited them to do. Oh, but Daniel, he saw no way. He was in the middle of a storm. But God made a way. And so throughout time, Jesus was hanging on a cross. Everybody looking at Jesus hanging on the cross, what were they thinking? There's no way. Absolutely no. You know, it was fun while it lasted. My mom's better now. I was able to eat that day. He fed everybody on the hill. That was cool. He was able to kind of set my life right for a little bit, but everything he must have said must not have been true, because there he is up there on that cross. There's just nothing to do. There's no way. And when they pulled him down off the cross, you really knew. And so that's why the story of the disciples on the way to the town of Emmaus, I think it's one of the reasons it's in the scripture. There's so many stories. Jesus had more than 500 appearances. He appeared to people all over the place after he rose from the dead. But on one of those trips, road to Emmaus, he's with those disciples, and they thought, there's no way. They're going back home sad. There's no way. All the hope we had, all the future we thought was coming, man, it's just not happening. Oh, well. But they met Jesus. And where there was no way, Jesus made a way. Surprise! I'm here. And so no matter what kind of challenges we face, no matter what kind of a future we're being pulled into, and how our awesome past is pushing us, nudging us gently, lovingly into a new future, we know that where we don't see a way, there is a way. Can you say that with me? Where there is no way, there is a way. Where there is no way, there is a way. That's the kind of future that God wants for us. Forces oppose each other. High pressure, low pressure, north, south, east, west, past and future. But they center in Jesus. Our instrument flying is with the scripture in one hand, our notebook, our maps, our community in the other, and the Spirit of God as He leads us forward. Those are our instruments. Those are the things we follow. And sometimes the weather outside's not so good. But we follow our instruments, we follow the heart, we follow where God is leading us into a hopeful future. Let us pray.